If you brought with you this morning a copy of the scripture, I want to encourage you to open it up to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, we're going to look at chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter number 1, preaching on this subject this morning, the man and the message. The man and the message, Jeremiah chapter number 1. We're going to read in just a bit, verses 4 through verse number 10. I know that many of you have your copy of the scripture on your phone. And if you do, I've got the New King James Version of the Bible with me today. And so that can help you to click on that and read exactly as I am today. Book of Jeremiah, chapter number 1, verses 4 through verse number 10. If you are able, would you stand with me, please, as we honor God and we share together in the reading of God's holy, His inerrant, and His infallible Word. Jeremiah, chapter number 1, verse number 4. The Bible says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations.' Then said I, 'Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all of whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord.' Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set this day, set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant.'" Pray with me if you would, please. Heavenly Father, we do come into your presence today, and in the name of the Lord Jesus, God, we recognize and understand that that's the only way that we can come to you. And Father, we're glad to have the opportunity, the invitation to come before you this morning, all because of Jesus. Father, we come before you wanting you, God, to speak to us as individuals, but also speak to us, God, as the body of Christ gathered here in this place. God, as we think about the call of God that you place upon our lives and the call of God that you put on other lives, Father, we pray that you'd help us to see that. God, that we might see it, that we might understand it. Father, that we might surrender to it completely this morning. God, I pray today as I stand here to preach, Lord, I know who I am. God, I'm chosen to be here this morning to preach to this peculiar group of people, and Father, you've got a word for them, and Lord, I want to be your instrument to deliver that word to this group, and so Father, I pray, please, fill me with your spirit. Please, Father, give me that heavenly unction, for it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray, and it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I preach. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. One of the greatest misconceptions about ministry and even about Christian services in general is that God primarily calls a message rather than him calling a person. We don't have to doubt at all that God has called a message. We understand that. What all of us are responsible for is how we deliver the message that God has given to us. And so we don't necessarily spend our time thinking about God calling a message. We think about how God has called individuals. God has called people that are responsible for delivering the message of God. And God is at work. He is at work in your life. He is at work in my life. He is in work of everyone's life, trying to mold them and trying to shape them into the messenger that God wants for them to be. And it's appropriate, I think, that God is asking each and every one of us to be a messenger, because you know that you are a unique individual. You are unique, and I am unique, and God needs all of us unique individuals to come together so that his message can be heard in a crystal clear kind of fashion. And I figured out a long time ago that naturally there are going to be some people that gravitate toward me. There's something about the way I carry myself, the way I emote, the way I handle myself, the way I speak that is just naturally going to be a draw, a winsome for someone. But aren't you glad that not everyone is like I am? We are individuals, right? And I want you to know that as an individual, there's something unique about you. There's something unique that God wants to use in your life, and naturally, there are going to be people that are naturally gravitating toward you because there's something about you and the way you carry yourself and the way you emote that you are attractive to other people. And what we need to understand is that God calls all of us individually, and He places us inside His body of Christ so that His message can be articulated to the vast, wide array of different personalities and different peoples. God calls people to be used by Him. All of us He calls, some He calls in a unique capacity to serve in the position of a local church pastor. It's what is on my mind and what is in my heart, and we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about this over the next few weeks, and we're going to understand that God has called the man, and He has given the man the message for the Parkside Baptist Church here in Columbus, Indiana. Now, I've chosen this text here that we see about Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a faithful prophet of God. He was someone that God desired to use, but Jeremiah spent much of his time being very, very frustrated with ministry. In fact, you see Jeremiah as an individual that was not very successful in ministry of drawing people to himself. Some theologians have said Jeremiah never had a single convert. And yet we look at him as someone that is incredibly effective because he answered God's call to serve Him. Let's look at that call this morning here in Jeremiah chapter number 1 as we think about this passage of Scripture. And we'll understand that Jeremiah's calling reminds us that before God sends a word to the nation, He prepares a man who will carry that word to the nation. God's call, it's not an accidental call, it's not a reactive call, it's not a call that is based upon human readiness. It is a call that is sovereign, intentional, and gracious in God and what He wants to do in culture. So let's look at the Scripture. The first thing I want you to notice with me is this, and we see it in verse number 5. We see this, God's call is personal. God's call is personal. Notice what your text says there in verse number 5. It says this, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Jeremiah is experiencing this move of God in his heart, this move of God in his life, and he understands that God had called him in a specific, personal kind of way because God wanted to use Jeremiah in a specific, personal kind of way. God's call upon Jeremiah was indeed a personal call. God spoke to him personally and specifically about what God would have him to do. And God still speaks that way. He still speaks to people. One of my favorite Bible teachers from recent years, how many of you have ever heard of a guy by the name of Howard Hendricks? Howard Hendricks is indeed, he's a legendary Bible teacher. He passed away a few years ago, but he taught in seminary at Dallas for a long time and was just a phenomenal, phenomenal Bible teacher. And he was very forming in a lot of preachers' lives in this particular day. I loved Hendricks. I thought Hendricks was probably the best Bible teacher that I had ever heard and I had ever seen was Howard Hendricks. Howard Hendricks, not only was he a Bible teacher, but he was a prolific writer. He wrote a bunch, and he wrote in one of his books that he had published, he wrote about how he came to faith in Jesus Christ. He came from a very difficult family. Hendricks said that he was born in a broken family. He felt like that he could have lived and died and gone to hell without anybody ever bothering to care for him. He just did not feel like anyone cared about him. However, in the community in which he lived, there was a man that went by the name of Walt. Now, Walt was a member of a tiny little church there in Philadelphia, and Walt had a tremendous desire to reach boys with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so every week, Walt would go out into the community and he'd try to meet little boys. Well, one of the things that Howard Hendricks loved to do at the time that he loved to play, many of you are not going to understand this, but some of us that are a little bit older will. Hendricks loved to play marbles. Anybody ever played marbles? A few of us that are a little bit older, we've played marbles. My dad wanted to make sure that I knew how to play marbles. And so from my earliest years, I can remember for Christmas or my birthday or something, getting those little sacks of marbles. And I think Dad was more excited about them than I was, right? Because he could teach me how to play marbles. Well, Hendricks was playing marbles. And Walt came around to meet people on the street, and he met Hendricks, and he said, "Hey, would you like to go to Sunday school with me tomorrow?" Hendricks thought for a moment, and he said, "I'm not going to any school. There's no way that I'm going to go to school with you tomorrow. I'm going to pass." And then the next week, the guy came around, and he found Hendricks there in the same spot doing what he always did. He liked to play marbles, and he said, "Hey, can I play marbles with you?" When Hendricks was absolutely certain that he was just going to beat this old man by the name of Walt, he was just going to beat him badly, and so he agreed to play. Well, what Hendricks learned is that Walt had played marbles before, and marbles was Walt's game, evidently, because he beat Hendricks. Every time they played, he beat Hendricks. And through playing marbles on a street in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Walt was invited to come to church. And Walt invited Hendricks to come to church. And not only did he invite Hendricks to come to church, he would invite him to go out in the community and to go on hikes and things like that, as Walt was a Sunday school teacher. And through this ministry of Walt, Hendricks came to faith in Jesus. And later on, Hendricks asked Walt, "Why do you do what you do?" Knowing that Walt's health was declining and he was not in good health, but every week he'd show up. Every week he'd invest in these kids. Every week he'd minister to them in some way. And Hendricks was just dying to know, "Why do you do what you do?" You know what Walt's answer was? Walt's answer was this: "Because that is what God asked me to do. That is what God asked him to do." You see, that was the call that God had personally placed on Walt's life, to invest in young teenage boys so that they would have the opportunity of coming to faith in Jesus. And because of that, one of the greatest Bible teachers that the world had ever seen came to faith in Jesus, because Walt was called personally to reach young boys and girls with the gospel of Jesus. Now, I know your name is not Walt in this room this morning, but you need to understand that God has a plan for your life. You are not an accident. You are not someone that God cannot use. You are someone that God definitely has written a plan for your life. And he has a plan for your life that he has written for you even before you were ever conceived, even before you were ever thought. God knew you, and God placed a specific plan on your life. And one day he hopes that you will be raised up to find out what that plan is. Because God's call is personal for each and every one of us. There's no doubt in my mind that I have answered God's call for my life. What about you? Have you answered God's call for your life? Because God's call is personal. God begins Jeremiah's calling here not with a command, but with a revelation. He pulls back the curtain of Jeremiah's life and he shows him that his life is not a random accident. His life is divinely authored. And he says, I've got something that I want you to do, Jeremiah. God's knowledge precedes our existence. What the text says here, right? If you look at the text says, before I formed you, I knew you. Before you were ever conceived, God knew who you were. And God had a plan marked out for your life. You're a part of God's gracious, glorious plan. God's call is rooted in God's initiative. I love here in this particular text, it teaches us that God did not have Jeremiah as a volunteer, right? Jeremiah just didn't decide one day, oh, I think I'm going to be a prophet to the nations. You know, it's not something that he decided that he was going to do. It is something that God specifically asked him to do. This is not a career choice for Jeremiah. This is not something that he had designs upon in his life for Jeremiah. This was an answer to God's initiative in his life. God wanted him to do this, and God knocked on Jeremiah's life. He says, Jeremiah, I've got a plan for you. And he unveils the curtain of Jeremiah's life, a personal call. God's call gives meaning to his life. I love that for Jeremiah. Jeremiah's calling wasn't an afterthought. It was woven into his very being. It reminds us that God's purposes for his servants are not accidental. God's purposes for his servants are not secondary. He shapes the person before he assigns the task. God does not discover us later, right? He does not look into your life and think, oh, he might be good at this. Oh, she might be able to do this excellently. God doesn't just discover that in your life. God puts that in your life, and then he calls it out of you. I wish that all of us would understand that God's calling is personal, just exactly as it was with Jeremiah. The second thing I want us to see in this text is not only is God's calling personal, but God's call overcomes inadequacy. God's call overcomes inadequacy. Look at your text. Notice what the Bible says here in verses 6 and verse number 7. The text says, then said I, ah, Lord God, I can't speak, for I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, don't say I'm a youth. For you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. God's call overcomes inadequacy. Don't you feel inadequate sometimes? All of us have the same resume when you think about it. We have the exact same resume. We have a resume that says, I don't know enough. We have a resume that says, I'm not good enough. We have a resume that says, I've made way too many mistakes. God, you can't use me. I don't know enough. I'm not good enough. I have made way too many mistakes, Lord. You can't me. But you know what God says? Hogwash. God says, I got something for you. And God specializes on using those of us who think we can't. The natural response to God's call is often fear. I'm fearful. You know, really in my life, there's only been two things that I've been afraid of, maybe three. One thing that I'm afraid of is I was always afraid of thunderstorms. When I was a little kid, a thunderstorm would come and it would just absolutely scare me to death. Every time the thunder would thunder and the lightning would flash, I would want you to know, I would want to go and hide. I'm afraid of thunderstorms. I've kind of grown out of that a little bit. I'm not afraid of thunderstorms anymore. When a thunderstorm comes, I just kind of sit there and deal with it. But I've been afraid of thunderstorms. You know what's the second thing I'm afraid of? Getting up in front of a group of people and speaking. Absolutely, you don't know this morning, but my knees are shaking on the inside. I don't see myself as a public speaker. That was the last thing that I ever wanted in my life. I told you this before. The only class that I'd ever flunked in school was speech. And I'm not saying that as a joke. I'm telling you that is absolutely 100% true. You want to know what my final exam was in my speech class? I'm going to give it to you right now. You ready? I took speech class in high school. They make you give a final exam, and you got to stand up in front of your class and give, I think it was an 8 to 10 minute speech. And I hated that. So this is my speech. You ready? This is it. Hello, class. Today my speech is on drinking and driving. Don't drink and drive. And that was it. I sat down. Not because I was trying to be funny, but you want to know why? Because I was afraid of getting up in front of a group of people. I've said over and over again, God, you can't call me because I can't do this. The third thing I'm afraid of is my wife. God's call. You understand what I'm trying to get you to see? God's call. It overcomes inadequacy. None of us feel like we can. We feel like we can't. God rejects excuses that are rooted in self-focus. When I say I can't, it's because I'm not looking at God. I'm looking at Rick. And Rick doesn't like getting up in front of people. Rick is backward. Rick is introverted. Rick doesn't like crowds. God, I can't do this. But God says, oh, yes, you can. Here for going on 4 decades now. What have I done multiple times every week? I've got up in front of a group of people. And I preached. And I feel like in doing that, I'm fulfilling God's call upon my life. See, understand that the natural response to God's call is fear. But we also need to know that God rejects excuses that are rooted in self-focus. And God's call is sustained by our obedience, not by our confidence. God didn't call Jeremiah so that Jeremiah would feel ready. He called Jeremiah so that Jeremiah would be faithful. Even though Jeremiah felt like he was inadequate, his inadequacy did not reject God's call. In fact, I tend to think inadequacy, it confirms God's call. If you're feeling inadequate for what God is asking you to do, good news. Because you're not going to depend on Him. Or yourself, rather. You're going to depend upon Him. God's call overcomes inadequacy. Here's the third thing that I want us to see. This. God's call carries His enablement. God's call carries His enablement. Look at your text. Notice what it says here, verses 8, 9, and 10. Scripture says this. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth His hand, and He touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. God's call carries His enablement. That's what Jeremiah understood. God wanted Jeremiah to know this. Number one, God wanted Jeremiah to know that God was with him. That's what it says in verse number 8. God's presence secures the servant. He tells Jeremiah, "Hey, Jeremiah, I'm with you. I'm with you." The promise of God's presence is greater than the threat of opposition. Jeremiah's confidence wouldn't come from his successes. It wouldn't come from his circumstances, rather. His confidence would come because God is near him. And then, secondly, God wanted Jeremiah to know not only that his presence secures the saint, but God personally empowers his messenger. I see that in verse number 9. "Then the Lord put his hand and he touched my mouth." God reached down and he touched the mouth of Jeremiah and behold, I put my words in your mouth. God says, "I put my words in your mouth." I know God does that. I hope you guys understand that I do put forth effort, right? I try to put forth effort of studying a text. I try to put forth effort of putting together a sermon, a message that is going to be beneficial to the people. And so every time I come to the pulpit, I have more notes probably than you think I have. I brought with me this morning here, you can come and look at this sometimes. I've got pages of notes that are single spaced, right? And so I feel like when I stand up in front of a group of people and preach to them, I feel like that I am prepared to do so. I feel like I need to be prepared to do so. But you know where some of the best stuff comes? The best stuff just comes when I'm just here standing. Not that something that I've written down on a piece of paper, not a note that I have. Some of the best stuff comes to me when I'm actually up here preaching, and I preach it, and after I preach it, I think, wow, where did that come from? You know where it came from? Because God touched my mouth. And he put his message in my mouth because he knew what I didn't know, that someone needed to hear that which I had spoken to them. You see what I'm trying to get you to see? God's call carries his enablement. God's presence secures the servant. God is with us. God personally empowers his message, right? But thirdly, we think about this. I look at verse number 10, and we see this, that God defines the scope of the mission. He enables you, yes. He is present with you. He gives you the words that you are to speak, but he also defines the scope of the mission. He also tells people that your role is to minister to young teenage boys so that they will come to faith in Jesus Christ. He tells people your role is to become a pastor in a church so that you can help people to see their responsibility. God defines the scope of the mission. That's what I see him doing here in verse number 10. Check it out here. He says, "See, I have this day set you over the nations. I put you over the nations. Your message is going to be vast. Your message is going to be broad. Your message is going to be a message that is over the nations. And I want you to do this," he says. And he says here, "I want you to root out and pull down." He says, "I want you to destroy and to throw down." He says, "I want you to build and plant." Jeremiah's ministry would both be confrontational and constructive, right? It'd be tearing down and building up. So God defines the authority and the purpose and the task for Jeremiah's life. When God calls, He equips. When God sends, He sustains. Here's number four. This is really what I want to tell you. Okay? God has application for your life. God has application for the church. Here's the application I put down on a piece of paper for you. Application is threefold. It's this. Number one, a true call is rooted in God's initiative. Calling is not self-generated. It is not self-promoted, whether in ministry or in leadership or in faithful Christian service. The call begins with God, and it is sustained by God. God speaks into someone's life. He spoke into the life of Jeremiah the prophet, and he says, I have a word for you. And this morning, God speaks into your life because God has a word for you. God's call is rooted in God's initiative. Secondly, God shapes the servant before he does the service. God prepares the heart, the character, the dependence of the person before entrusting them to the responsibility. Number three, the church's role is to affirm what God has already done. Now, why did I say all of that? I say all of that because of this. I know that Parkside Baptist Church is in the process of looking for the next person to come and serve as pastor of this good church. I know that. God has spoken to me and said, you know, your time is finished. I have something else for you to do. So in answer to God speaking that to me, I've said, okay, God, I'll do that. And that means God's got someone else, right? He's got someone else that he's working in the heart and in the life of, a man of God that is being prepared at this particular time for service here at Parkside Baptist Church. You understand that, and you recognize that. So what should you be doing? Well, you should be praying, right? Praying. God, please unveil, reveal in a crystal clear kind of way who that man is that you're preparing to serve here in this particular place. God spoke specifically to Jeremiah. He confronted Jeremiah's fears and said, Jeremiah, this is the task. Will you do it? And God is doing that right now with a man of God that will soon be here in this place. What should you do? You should pray. You should pray that God makes that just absolutely crystal clear. A good group of people that are in the process of being a search team that's looking for that person even now. Good, godly people that are doing that. And you need to pray that God unveils very clearly who that person is for the benefit of Parkside Baptist Church. Here's the second thing, though. It's not all about somebody else. Second thing is, it's all about you. God is speaking to you. And just like God spoke to a gentleman by the name of Walt in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, about reaching teenage boys with the gospel. And Howard Hendricks came to faith as a result of that. What if you're that Walt for somebody else? What if you're that godly man or you're that godly lady who feels a specific call of God upon your life to do something like that? And I know all of us have excuses, right? We can all say, not me, God. Use somebody else. But God says, you know, I want to use somebody else. I want to use somebody else for something specific. But I want to use you for this. And you're the only one that can do this. You know what God wants us to do? He simply wants us to say, okay, God, I trust you. And step out and answer God's initiative in your life. God has all kinds of stuff that he wants Parkside Baptist Church to do. He's just waiting for people to step out. Do what it is God wants them to do. And you know what? If you would do that, I promise you, you would be blessed. Yeah, I told you how afraid I am of standing in front of a group of people and preaching, speaking. Literally, I'm scared. But you want to know what the greatest joy that I have in my life is? Standing up in front of a group of people and preaching. I don't get it. I am so afraid of it. But I feel so fulfilled when I do that which God asked me to do. Why is that? I don't know. It doesn't make sense up here. But really, it does. Because I've learned to depend upon him. And I'm just being faithful. I'm just being obedient to what he asks. And God rewards our faithfulness. And God rewards our obedience. I found that true in my life. You know what else? You will find that true in your life. God rewards your faithfulness. God rewards your obedience. Two things this morning, okay, I'm going to ask you to do. Number one, pray, pray, pray that God would find his man to. God would reveal his man. And it isn't like God is looking for him, right? God knows who he is. And God would just unveil that. You know what would be really cool? We're going to have an invitation time in just a moment. It'd be really cool if this altar was just full of people that just coming to pray. God, I'm praying that you would lead the right person here, unveil that right person for our congregation to serve. Just pray. And while you're praying, maybe you need to say, God, show me clearly what it is that you want me to do, and I'll try to be obedient, and I'll try to be faithful. You do those two things, man, blessings are going to come. Pray with me if you would. Heavenly Father, we do come before you today in the sweet name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we love you. Thank you for this good day that you've given to us. Thank you for a wonderful example that you've given to us in the Old Testament of Jeremiah. God, how you personally spoke in his life. You took the initiative to call him out and give him a task. God, what an encouragement that is to us. God, and I know you're speaking still in this day, speaking for someone to be a pastor to serve here at Parkside. God, reveal that person. God, help it to be just abundantly clear who that person is. God, we pray for that person now that the way might be prepared for them to come and to serve here. Lord, I also pray for these precious ones that have gathered here in this room. Lord, I know that you want to do a good work through them. And Father, I pray that you'd speak to them, help them to understand that they too are called to serve. And God, there's some that have never accepted Christ as their Savior. God, they're being called to you right now. God, there are some that have accepted Christ as their Savior but have never completely surrendered to your plan. God, and I pray that you'd minister to them right now. God, we give this invitation time to you. We say that it is yours. God, we pray that you would take it and you would extend it and you would be a blessing to your kingdom as a result of us extending this invitation today. So God, we make our prayer today in the sweet name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Stand together.